this is music from a place of vast interior spaces, of dark forests, of quiet lakes that have been carved out by glaciers. There's an emptiness that is far from empty in Finland, and you hear that in this music too, just at the very beginning of the piece, those four notes on the horn, which are so full of possibility, and Sibelius will develop that possibility through the entire symphony, but that's how it is in Finland. It's mysterious and shadowy, and at the same time, it's very, very elemental.
And you hear those landscapes in the music, and there's a specific place in the third movement where his inspiration comes from a very specific moment.
That's right. Sibelius put a passage in the final movement of the symphony that was inspired by something he had seen on one of his walks outdoors, and he entered this in his diary. At 10 to 11 today, saw 16 swans. God, what beauty! They circled over me for a long time, disappeared in the solar haze like a silver ribbon. Their call the same woodwind type as that of cranes, but without tremolo, that of swans closer to trumpet, a low refrain reminiscent of a child sobbing. Nature's mysticism and life's lament.
It's so wonderful in a way to know what inspired a composer. I mean, we so rarely get that. And to have that diary entry that leads us right to that musical moment, it's wonderful to be able to make that connection.
And it shows you what a deep feeling Sibelius had for nature and for life's lament and the mysteries of nature. It's a long stretch from the trumpet-like sobbing of the swans that he must have heard to that beautiful bell-like tolling in the horns. But that was what happened in Sibelius's mind. And it's complicated even more beautifully by what's going on, that sort of giddy work in the strings and that very poignant melody in the woodwinds. It really adds up to something quite beautiful and touching.
Yeah, that was just a little bit of a section of the final movement from Sibelius's Symphony No. 5. The Boston Symphony Orchestra recorded in 1975, Sir Colin Davis conducting. There's a moment right at the end of the first movement that's remarkable to my ears. And actually, the whole first movement, 15 minutes worth, that really is all about acceleration. We start in a very misty haze, and we end up full speed ahead. And I think the temptation as a conductor in this moment would be to be frantic. I mean, you've been building up to this for 15 minutes, and Colin Davis doesn't let it get out of control, and yet it has tremendous energy.
Yeah, I think it has that energy in part because he does keep it under control the whole way through, this gradual increase in the tempo, which has the effect of compressing our sense of time. And the Boston Symphony is right with him the whole way, and as it gets to the end of this movement, you hear what a virtuosic band this is, with everybody playing at the limit of speed and doing it really brilliantly.
Thank you.
John, I love the way he bites off that ending. I mean, I get a physical thrill out of that, even more so if I've heard the whole buildup for 15 minutes. But even just in that little bit we heard, there's such energy and focus, and it's a great performance.
This is from a complete cycle of the Sibelius symphonies that Davis did with the Bostonians in the mid-1970s. Still, for my money, probably the best overall account of the complete symphonies of Sibelius. And this, a wonderful CD, recently reissued and very well remastered, combining the 5th and the 7th symphonies from that complete set.
We're going to hear the final movement here from the Symphony No. 5. What should we listen for?
Well, we want to listen for that swan music when it pops up, and also for this extraordinary way in which Sibelius ends the piece. He had sped things up in the first movement. Here he slows them down until it becomes absolutely glacial, and they're the last huge monolithic chords with which he ends this piece. Quite a remarkable journey that this symphony represents, and typical of the man Sibelius to find a new way of saying things.